Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Beautiful, inspirational music to study the Word of God. Morgan, you brought a visitor.
I haven't caught his name yet.
Yes. Oh, we have visitors' cards and envelopes. For Grace Church, we have a lot of rules. Yeah. Okay. Let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And last week I spent a majority of the introduction time. Isn't that a nice way of wording it? A majority of the introduction time. How much time was that? I don't know. But I wanted to show you that in context, the gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw deals with building material of the pastor, not to the Christian's life. Now, a lot of times people use it. I think I probably have. But in context, that's not it. And nowhere in the New Testament is gold, silver, and precious stones used of the work of the believer. So, just staying true to context is what we're dealing with in 1 Corinthians 3. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of this prayer is important. You test yourself. Be sure you're in the filling of the Spirit. You went to the trouble to get up early on Sunday morning. Drive here. Don't waste the time. Be in the filling of the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are so many aspects to our spiritual maturity. One, of course, that we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. The second is the local church, where the pastor teacher is studying and teaching the gold, silver, and precious stones upon which we are to build our lives. So it involves us attending and listening, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. There's just so much involved, Father. And we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to how some of these things fit together. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's just read. We're in verse 13, so let's read from 10 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. According to the grace which was given to me as a wise master builder. Now, he's used many metaphors, several metaphors. He's used the planter, the water, and now he's going to the building metaphor. And as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation for the church, and another, pastor teachers through the church age, building upon it. So the pastor teacher is looked at as a builder. But let each man, that's each builder, be careful how he builds upon it. For no man, no pastor, can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So you go to a church and the pastor teacher is not building everything on Jesus Christ, you're in the wrong place. Then verse 12. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Now, we are not going to try to say which doctrine is gold and silver, but we're going to classify the various aspects. And please know that the wood, hay, and straw are built on the foundation of Christ. So we're talking about believers. But they're not things that are going to last. It's like speaking in tongues. It's like giving. It's like a lot of these things, while they're okay, and even these are in levels of degrees. A wooden house will take longer to burn than a straw house. I'm not much on that spell side, but I do know that. And even these have their various degrees. But the wood, hay, and straw will not survive in time and will not survive at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, verse 13, where we left off. Each man's work, that's each pastor's work, and remember the singular there, not a plural, singular, his whole life looked at as a group, will become evident, for the day will show it. And this is where we left off. For the day. All right, the day is after the rapture of the church at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, people, some people worry about dying, heaven and hell. You have no problem with that. But just remember, every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You'll not be at the great white throne judgment. That's for unbelievers only. But we all will stand before Jesus Christ. Remember that. Have that in your head. How you live your life, it's going to come evident, and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All pastors will have to stand. All believers will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, I just kind of humorously to say, I don't know how he's going to do all of that in a 7-year period, because after the rapture, he's got to come on back to earth at the end of the 7 years cut short. So I don't know how it's all going to be done. But it's going to be done, and we're all, each of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now it says in verse 13, for each man's work will be evident, for the day will show it, because, and how will it be shown? Because it, the building material, you got to be able to identify all these things. For the day will show it. How will that day, the day is the judgment seat of Christ, how will it show it? Because it, building material, is to be revealed with fire, will become evident with fire. So the gold, silver, precious stones are incombustible in the concept that Paul is teaching here in life and at the judgment seat of Christ. And then he says, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Again, the singular. Now, we have several things here going on. I want to try to move on a little bit, but you'll know it will be revealed and it will be tested. It will be revealed and tested. You know, we could drive by a lot of churches, gold plated, big auditoriums, several buildings, but that's just seeing it. What is it? Well, that's going to be tested by the fire. So you have two things going on. We'll be revealed by the light. We'll be tested by the fire. And then it says, the quality of each man's work. All right, again, each man, pastor, teacher, and again, work in the singular. And that deals with his whole life. Just because we're in the time of the Olympics, you get one shot. Unless, you know, it's a process thing like basketball or something. But in the concept, one shot. You got one shot at swimming, one shot at running, one shot at your gymnastics, all these things, and you either win the gold, silver, or bronze, or you're out. You go home with nothing. So, but this isn't just a one-shot deal for the pastor. This is his whole life. You exclude, as God does in Hebrews, all the sins, all those things, and what's left is his building. What did he build on during his life ministry? Singular. Looked at as a whole. His whole life. Did he teach the truth on the gospel? Did he teach the truth on spirituality? Did he teach the truth on how to live the Christian life? Alright? And then it says, the quality, the gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. People, your salvation is secure. Why is your salvation secure? Because it's based on the work of Jesus Christ. Singular. It's based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Another reason you don't want to be saved by works. You're saved by works. Boy, did I do enough? Did I get it just right? All these kinds of things. It's based on the singular work of Christ on the cross. And now we have the singular work for the life of the pastor teacher. And this could be a little bit depressing if you're a pastor. John Henson, I like to talk about, you know, well, did you have a gold one today or did you lay an egg? And, you know, sometimes we get through, man, that's it. I don't want to ever preach again. I can't get it better. I can't do better than that. And then other times, boy, that's it. That was an egg. That was pitiful. I'm through. No, it's just your whole, the pastor's whole life of studying the Word and teaching the Word. Was it truth? What he taught his people. Okay, so we have the work of Christ, the work of the pastor. What the pastor teacher is building with and what you're doing with your life may be hidden as far as the world is to see. The world may not see what you're doing. And a multitude of pastors' works do this to be seen by man, to be heard by man, seen by man, have their books bought by man, all these types of things. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Bible church, so we're going to open the old dusty Bible. Matthew chapter 2. And let's read. Excuse me. I thought it was Matthew 2. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. It's Matthew 23, verse 5. How about that? 23 through 5. My wife was kidding me this morning about how I can't see or hear her. Alright, 23, and we want to read verse 5. I told her as long as I can see and read and all and speak, I won't have to retire or anything. She said, well, you're not doing too good on the seeing. Alright, let's look at 23, verse 5. But they do all their deeds. Now, this is not applying to the pastor teacher, but the principle applies. But they do all their deeds, and a lot of Christians, to be seen and noticed by men. For they broaden their... Now, what they're doing here is the things that they do for public seeing. So the public will see them. In fact, they even have their money. Rather than put in a check or a bill, they like to have a whole bag of change. And everybody gets to hear all the money they put in. So everybody, ooh, look at all that money. And that's the type of thing that they do. Now, look at Matthew chapter 6. Go back to Matthew chapter 6 for the same type of principle. Matthew 6, and let's read verse 2. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Can you imagine having the audacity that you're getting ready to give, have your little peasant come up and everybody looks, see how much you gave, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be honored by me. Ooh, that was really good. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound too good. They have their reward in full. It's not talking about blessings. And it's talking about the praise of man. And that's all they better get. A lot of these preachers today, they better get all they can from their TV revenue, their book revenue, and their church, and all that, because that's it. At the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to get nothing. So they better get it now. And the principle is also seen in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 43. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Now, I don't know if it's a surprise you or not, but multitude of the pastors go by the approval of men in their congregation. That's why a lot of them stand at the back. I wouldn't stand at the back anything in the world. I don't want to hear some of the truths. That was pitiful. You know? Boy, that was a slider. And then if they all start praising, you start listening, oh man, I'm really good. So it's just better to leave that alone. But you'd be surprised how many preachers just get their gas on the praise of men and the compliments by men, not of God nor of Christ. Or the principle is expressed, well, we just read it in John 12. These passages express at best the wood, hay, and straw. It may not even be wood, hay, and straw. I honestly believe that a lot of pastors, while they're building on the foundation of Christ, meaning they are believers, they don't even use wood and straw. They're just using false stuff, false teaching, false everything. And they're bonfires, and it's over. And a lot of them will have wood and straw. May not sound like a compliment, but at least they had wood and straw. Because that's bona fide stuff. That's of God. But it just burned up. It doesn't hold its structure in pressure of life or at the judgment seat of Christ under the fire judgment. A lot of them aren't even going to have that. So these passages at best express the wood, hay, and straw, and I think in reality, not much at all. Now, what is really interesting is those who will receive great reward and not even expecting it. This is going to be the fun. Those that are going to receive a lot and don't even expect it. Look at Matthew 25. For this principle. Matthew chapter 25, and let's read verses 37 through 39. Matthew 25, 37 through 39. 37, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the idea there is that they didn't even realize what they were doing. They helped people, they sustained some people, saw some people in the prison, and then Christ said, you know, you did this when I was sick, you helped me when I was sick. When did we see you do that? We didn't see you in that condition. When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. So it's going to be a lot. Now this isn't so much the pastor, but a lot of believers, I think, going to be real surprised. And there'll be a lot of them surprised because nothing they did was in the Spirit. Going to be a lot surprised they did it in the Spirit. And they were just doing it following the Holy Spirit. They didn't mean anything by it. And they gave money, they gave a kind word, they helped, they did this, and then at the judgment seat of Christ, they receive reward. So the judgment seat of Christ, one thing you want to know about it is, the truth will be revealed. We can hide and conceal the truth from others throughout our life, but not from God. And the truth will be revealed even to ourselves at the judgment seat of Christ. There are a multitude of pastors building with wood, hay, and straw and think that they're doing great things for God, but the truth will be revealed when at best their wood, hay, and straw is consumed. Now we saw the judgment seat of Christ in regard to Christians' life in 1 Corinthians 10, and we looked at it. And here in 1 Corinthians 3, rewards of the pastor teacher, referring to the judgment seat of Christ. And everyone is going to stand there after the rapture, receive rewards. Now look what it says. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And let's look in our study. We are at verse 13. And it says, for the day will show it. For the day will show it. All right. There's a certain day. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I'm not going to take time and study the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. But I want you to know, because you individually, each one of us individually, not with your husband, not with your wife, not with your parents, not with your children, not with your friends, you individually. And it's going to be none of this, you. This is about you. So let's just look at a couple of passages about this event and let the Word give us our doctrine. 1 Corinthians 5:5. 1 Corinthians 5:5. I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved or delivered in the day of the Lord Jesus. This is in the day of the rapture. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1:14. 2 Corinthians 1:14. And I like 1:14. It says, just as you also partially did understand us. And if every pastor would take that into his mind, they're only getting partially what you're teaching. That's all they're getting. They're not getting everything you teach. And I have a friend in Iowa. He moves. I had to remember where he's from. And he listens to every lesson now. It started some time ago, and he did it kind of because there was nothing else for him to listen to. He listens to nearly every one of our lessons about 2 or 3 times. And he said the third time he's still reaping stuff that he missed the first and second time. And I appreciated that. Because people, if you just listen, oh, I got that. But then you sit down and you see what's going on in a passage. What's happening in a passage. There's so much there. And I know myself, if the teacher's really good, I have to listen 2 or 3 times. Be it a Bible teacher, seminary, wherever it is in life, health. If the teacher's really good, either I've got to stop and start and stop and start and get every word, or else just listen to it a couple of times to kind of get it down as to what's going on. Okay, but let's finish the verse 14. Just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. Now, what is he saying here, people? This is beautiful. It's a teamwork. When each of us stand at the judgment seat of Christ, when you stand there and receive rewards for building your life on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you will thank the pastor, and the pastor will be thankful and joyful that you partially got what he was saying, and you lived your life in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a joint effort to both on the day. It's similar, and I hate to use illustrations, but it's similar to a good coach and a good team. The team, after a game, boy, that was a great game plan, great preparation. Man, the coach just did marvelously. What a good coach. And then on the other hand, the coach says, boy, they did a great job of execution. They did a great. So they each benefit the other. And that's what he's saying in the 2 Corinthians 1:14. Well, did you get all moved in?
Almost.
I understand that. I've been married 3 years, and we're almost completely moved. All right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, 6. We're looking at the day of the Lord as the judgment seat of Christ. Philippians, you know, the expression day of the Lord is very important throughout the Old Testament. But this is not talking about that day of the Lord. So let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Okay. The official phrase, day of the Lord, through the Old Testament, can refer to one, the second advent. It can refer to another way of looking at it, referring from the first day of the tribulation to the second advent, and then there are some passages where it refers to the rapture all the way to the millennium. But it's an official word throughout the Old Testament, and whereas in Israel, the northern kingdom, in fact, I think it's this morning, I don't know where I have it, but they were looking forward to the day of the Lord, and Amos says to him, don't be looking forward to it. You're not going to like it. It's not going to be good for you. That day of the Lord that you think is going to be a great day, it is not going to be a great day for you. It's going to be a horrible judgment. So there's that. Now, this expression in our epistles account deals with the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Does that work? Okay. All right. Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, and that is the judgment seat of Christ. And one more, 1 Thessalonians, and we're not studying these passages, just looking at them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's start reading in verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just as a thief in the night, dealing with the rapture of the church. Okay, here's my question. Dealing with the judgment seat of Christ, how does this affect you? How does this affect your daily life? Does it have any impact on you? And only you can answer that. That one day you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to make an evaluation of your life. How does that affect you? Does it affect your attendance in Bible study? Does it affect your daily life? There are some people who understand it and live in fear of this day. Others looking forward to this day. And in principle, this is like the day of the Lord of the Old Testament that I was just talking with Martha about in the Northern Kingdom. In fact, look at Amos. Now, if you don't know where Amos is, that's why they have a table of content. But look for Amos. It's in the Minor Prophets. Look for Amos. If you found Daniel, if you found Ezekiel, Daniel, and you keep going, and you'll come to Amos. Look at chapter 5. And again, this is a principle of application of the day of the Lord in the Old Testament concept and the day of the Lord as referring to the judgment seat of Christ. Let's look at Amos chapter 5 and let's read 17 through 24. And in all the vineyard. Now this, what's to tell you what's going on. Amos is a prophet to the northern kingdom. And they are on their way out already by Amos's time. They have abandoned Jerusalem. They've abandoned the temple. They've abandoned the true priest. They set up their own priest. Yes. That has not occurred yet. They are in probably at this time, the time of Amos, probably the third or fourth. Okay. So that's what's happening with Amos. And Amos is a prophet to the northern kingdom. Okay, let's look at verse 17. And in all the vineyards there is wailing, because I shall pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord. Boy, they're looking forward to it. Come on. For what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light. And when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him, see, that's a bad deal. You're running from a lion, you run into a big old bear. Or goes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him. Note, he's at home and a snake bites him at home. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light? Even gloom, with no brightness at all. I reject your festivals. That's the wood and stubble, at best. False festivals. False singing. False gift. By false, I mean not filled with the Spirit. It may be brilliant singing, but it's not glorifying to the Lord. It's not in the Holy Spirit. You may give a lot of money. It's not glorifying to the Lord. It's not in the filling of the Spirit. Festivals are ordained by God, people. That's why it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's ordained by God. But if it's not done in the power, it's nothing. It'll burn. Nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Those are ordained by God. But God's not impressed. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. People, burnt offerings and grain offerings are ordained by God. But He doesn't want them. They're wood, hay, and straw at best. They're not in the filling of the Spirit. They're for the glory of man, making you think you're doing something great for God. And I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. These are ordained by God. He doesn't even want them. Verse 23. Take away from me the noise of your songs. Well, hey, these were beautiful songs. We had the best people singing them. They're noise to me. They're noise. Give me a believer who can't even carry a tune in the filling of the Spirit. I'll take that over your beautiful songs sung in the flesh. Verse 23 continued, I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. People, that's got to be very discouraging at the judgment seat of Christ. But I did all these things for you. It was sounding the cymbals that drew attention to you. They weren't praise of me. Verse 24, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So, go back down to 1 Corinthians. So what I want you to see here is, at the judgment seat of Christ, there could be a lot of people thinking they should be getting a lot of great stuff. But it was not done in the filling of the Spirit. But let's stay with the pastors. Let's don't move away from picking on him. But I spent my whole life. I went to the hospitals. I preached. I did this. I did that. I did a youth program. I did all these other things you wanted me to. I just did all of this stuff. Wood and straw, at best. At best. And it just burned up. People, what he's looking for is the pastor who labor. Remember our study on labor. Labors are just studying and teaching. Studying and teaching. In season and out of season. What is that? When people respond, when they don't respond. That's not his responsibility. And he's not going to be evaluated. Well, let's see now. You had 10,000 people, and you had 10 people. Well, by numbers, you get the biggest prize. Not according to God. Neither one may get anything. They both may get a lot. One may get some and the other nothing. So it's going to be a matter of the truth. So there's going to be a lot of noise. A lot of clamoring made for the Lord all throughout time. And I like the way 1 Corinthians 13 says it in verse 3. It's like a sounding brass. You know what that is? That's an echoing sound. You know what an echo sound is, don't you? It's where you stand on a mountain and holler out and you hear your voice come back. What's that? What's an echoing sound? It draws attention to you. It draws attention to self. It's a beautiful statement by Paul. Beautiful way of wording it. And that's what a lot of people do. Their work just draws attention to them. And that's what they like. They like hearing themselves talk. So be careful if you're looking for this time at the judgment seat of Christ. And be warned. You don't have to fear this day. Be warned to look at each day of your own life. Am I doing this in the filling of the Spirit? Is my motivation from the Spirit? Or is my motivation for me? To boost me, make me look good, all this kind of stuff? Or am I doing this in the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit? So those who fear this day, you have no reason to fear it. You have no reason to fear the judgment seat of Christ. Judge yourself, see if you're in the Spirit day by day. Now, you don't want to arrogantly look forward to this day, but do not fear it either. It is coming. Every one of us will have to stand there. So be prepared for it. So, you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And what's going to be looked at is your life in the filling of the Spirit. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire. and the fire itself will test the quality of each man. Remember, in context, this is a pastor work, singular. Okay, here's the two principles. The daylight will show it, reveal it. The fire will test it. The fire will test the material. And like I like to say, you can drive down the street, see a beautiful building, gold plated, looks great. The fire will test it. Does it go up in flames quickly? Or is it made of gold, silver, and precious stones? So the fire will test it as to the material, the pastor's work. Was he studying and teaching the Word of God, building on the foundation of Christ with the truth? Now let's look at the word will test. The fire will test it. By the way, this is great. There's an argument, not a great argument, there's an argument. Is the fire literal or is this figurative? I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be one heck of an Aggie bonfire or not. I don't know. No one of us knows. But the analogy is enough to keep us in line. Okay, did you have a question? Okay. All right. Now, a fire will test it. Let's look at the word test. The word is the future of dokimazo. There are two Greek words for testing. One is to test for failure, and the one we have here is to test for approval. Most teachers, professors that I had taught for success, to pass. But I know, without a shadow of a doubt, I had one professor who tested for failure. He purposefully designed, and he says it, out there in class, he purposefully designed his exams so that no one would make 100. Impossible. For the final exam, you got about 10 pages of questions. I think there were over 2,000 questions. No way could you even finish them. Genius. And because of the time factor. So he did it on purpose. And it was the level you failed or the level you passed, depending on how many you answered and how many of those you got right. I mean, it took a long time to figure out his grade system, much less what he's grading you on. But that's what he did. And it was up to him as to where the line was drawn. Who made a B? A, B, C, D, F. It was totally up to him. It was not something concrete. It was arbitrary. So you just sat there and did as many as you could in the 2-hour final exam. And let's say out of the 2,000, just for example, say you got 500, you were wrong on 100, so you got 400, but then he deducted you because you guessed and you got 100 wrong. It was very complicated. His whole grading system. In fact, I won't go through how this worked, but I'll just share this with you. He had it so worked out where at the end of the semester, you could owe him points. Not only did you not pass, you could owe him points. I won't explain how that worked, but you could actually owe him points. And I went up to him one day, and he was a Christian, and he knew I was. And I said, Dr. Owen, let me ask you a question. I said, let's say a student had the misfortune of having you for law and failed, owing you points. And let's say he had the horrible misfortune of getting you for the repeat. Does he start off minus, or does he start off minus those points? And he goes, this dramatics, I also understand grace. He starts with a clean slate. But it won't take me long to get zeros on it. Okay, so this is the word dokimazo. This is designed for passing. The quality of each man's work. Note again the singular work, but the word each man. And this in context applies to a pastor's, in principle to a believer, but in context to the pastor. We will each stand before the judgment seat of Christ individually, not as a group, not as a denomination, not even as a family, not as a local church, but individually. The pastor teacher is to build with things that will last from time to eternity. It's up to you to be able to evaluate, is where I'm going to church and who I'm listening to, is this going to last into eternity or not? So this is his responsibility, but it's your responsibility in looking forward to standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Is he using wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones, or is he using shoddy material, wood, hay, and straw? And because I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ on this. A builder who builds with wood, hay, and straw often impresses the world, but he doesn't impress God. A lot of pastors do gold-plated work for their material, and it's just not seen in time. Just as your work may not be seen in time, a pastor's work may not be seen in time, while we're alive on earth. But look at Colossians chapter 3 for a very important passage. Colossians chapter 3. Now, Colossians 3 is one of the fun chapters of the Bible. It's one of the real fun chapters. Look at verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands. See? So, it's a very delicate chapter, especially if he's married. I didn't mind teaching this when I was single, but I don't know about now. But, This is a powerful chapter, but I want you to note where it starts. Whether or not a husband will love his wife, and that's verse 19, whether or not a wife submits to her husband, it's all dependent on verse 1. It's all dependent on your view of the Word of God. It's all dependent on your view of the authority of God in your life. So let's read verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised up, and the first-class condition since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is. This is the format for wives submitting, husbands loving, children obeying, all these personal things that he's going to talk about. But this is the foundation of it. The things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. So first of all, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden. Hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So this is where we are to live, people. Not here on earth, but looking at him. So what are we building our life on? What are we building our marriage on? What are we building our work on, our whole being on? Is it setting our eyes on the things above? People, it doesn't matter what people see here. It matters what's going to be revealed when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's the day. And for some, it will be a frightening day. For others, it will be a wonderful day in their lives. People, remember, we've already studied this. God looks on the inside. There are pastors, there are believers who work hard to impress the world. But God looks on the inside. He looks at the power source, the Holy Spirit. That will influence the motivation. Were you motivated for flesh, or were you motivated for the glory of Christ? You can fool the world as to your motivation or your source, whether it's the Holy Spirit or the flesh. But I'm telling you, people, on this day, you cannot fool. You just stand there and watch. God will reveal the truth. So please be sure that all you do in the power of the Holy Spirit. It would be such a shame to live your life and waste it. Your whole life. As a born-again believer. I mean, how horrible it is for the believer, or the unbeliever. I mean, I feel for every unbeliever. Not only for, but to spend your whole life in your whole life is a waste. Just a total waste. But even as a born-again believer, one who is in Christ, has eternal life, and your whole life can be a waste. You just took up space and breathed air that other people could use. See, this is what happens here. Or, at this day, the judgment seat of Christ, when Christ is revealed, you will be revealed. My goodness, look. And I personally believe there are going to be a lot of pastors going to be disappointed on this day. No rewards. And I believe there's going to be a certain number of pastors who studied the truth in the Word of God in the Spirit, taught it, and they're going to receive blessings at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not going to be based on their education. It's not going to be based on how much Greek and Hebrew they knew. It's going to be based on whether or not they used all that God gave them in the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's where it's going to be based. So whether you're a builder, pastor, teacher, choosing the materials you're going to build the church on or people's lives on, or whether it's you, it's going to be what you built your life on. I love California. I love looking at pictures of it. I love seeing it. But every now and then, I know you've got to, because I have all my life. Every now and then, here's a beautiful home on a cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Slid down the mountain. And do you know what? People still building them on those edge mountains. They're still building them. And you go, you dummy! Why are you doing that? 5 years ago, somebody else built down the road. It's gone. Well, people think about our lives. You're building your life on something that's just going to slide away, or on solid ground with gold and silver and precious stones. All right, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 14, reward for the pastor-teacher. Verse 15, loss of reward for the pastor-teacher. Let's quickly go through these, not spend a great deal of time on them. So, verse 14, a lot of hotshot pastors better get all the rewards they can on earth, because they're going to not get much at the judgment seat of Christ. But look at verse 14. If any man's word, now any man is a pastor teacher in context, which he has built upon it, there tells us what man we're talking about, has built upon it, remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work, this is a central word to understand the gospel and the Christian life. If any man's work, it's singular. It's singular. You looked at your life, not an Olympic where you get a one shot. This is your whole life work here, is what Christ is going to look at. And you're going to have some good times and some bad. He's going to look at the whole deal. I love reading Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, every one of those people in there had some really horrible sins. Of all people, Samson's in there, whom everybody thinks is the world's greatest sinner. He's in the great chapter of the heroes of the Bible. You see, God doesn't worry about those things. Why not? His son has already borne the judgment, people. What he's looking at is, why didn't you trust me with your life? Why didn't you trust my word to build your life on? That's what he's looking at. Read Hebrews 11 sometime and just think of the sins of those people that you know. David, murder, adultery, fornication. I mean, you name it, David's there. On and on and on. It's in the great heroes of the chapter of the Bible. What about all those horrible things? What about the cross? Now let's look at the life. Let's look at what God sees in these people's lives, their whole lives. So this becomes so important. But let's look at work, the word work, just for a moment, not a long study, in regard to the gospel and the Christian life. Point one, the word is used in three primary ways, and is so important to know the distinction of these. It's used of the work of God, work of the law, and dead works. Point two. So it's used in three major ways. Work of God, work of the law, dead works. Point two, no one is saved by the works of the law. No one is saved by obeying the law. And I'm not going to turn to it. We have spent time at Romans 3:20, Romans 3:27 through 28, Romans 4:2, Romans 9:32, Romans 11:6. So we're not saved by the works of the law. I don't care how well you do it. You're not saved by it. Point three. But for those who want to see faith alone in Christ as a work, if you insist that it is man doing something, it is a work. Okay, let's look for a moment at Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we're going to look at 27 through 29. Do not, this is Christ speaking to the religious crowd. Do not work for the food which perishes. Oh, wait a minute. I thought that's what we were supposed to work for. But for the food which endures to eternal life. Ah, see there, we do work for it. Which the Son of Man shall give to you. Oh, wait a minute now. I'm going to work for it, and he's going to give it to me. It's already getting confusing. For on him, the Father, even God, has set his seal. Okay, they heard that. Now look what they say. They're all caught up in this. Therefore said to him, they heard all this about work. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? I love the religious crowd. They're so obsessed with works. One little sentence, three times. We may do the work of the works of God. Verse 29. Jesus said to them, this is the work, singular, of God. This is, now look at verse 28. What do we do that we may do the works, plural? Verse 29, he answers with the singular. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent, his Son and his Spirit. So, if you want to be saved by works, it must be the work of God. And what is the work of God? Faith alone in Christ alone. This is the work of God. For, there is a work of Christ, which is in the filling of the Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 30. And then 5, there's a work produced by faith. A work produced by faith in the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Alright, let's continue on now with yes, sir. Absolutely. Point three. I know you didn't ask for three, but let me just say it. But for those who will see, faith alone is the only work acceptable by God. John chapter 6, 27 through 29. Four, the work of Christ. Philippians 2:30. That's faith in the Holy Spirit. 5, work produced by faith in the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Work is a very confusing word. A lot of people grab hold of various passages and boy, you got to work. But we must see that God isn't looking for us to work the works of the law or your list, but it's the work of God, his faith. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says in verse 14, if any man, the pastor teacher's work, that's used for his whole life, what he uses as a foundation, which he has built upon it, that is upon the foundation of Christ, remains. Remains from what? Remains from being tested by fire, the previous verse. Remember that wood, hay, and straw will be consumed by fire. Wood will take a little longer to burn, and hay a little longer, but it will be consumed by fire, the wood, hay, and straw. Okay. He shall receive a reward. The reward is not described here. But we know of some of these, the crown of righteousness, which is for both pastor and believer, the crown of life, the crown of exaltation, First Peter 5. You know, the Olympics. They do a lot to try to keep it off the individual glory. In other words, that the when he receives, he or she receives the gold medal, they play the national anthem, the national flag. It's supposed to be for the nation, and that's good. That's a good aspect. And people, that's what this is about. It's about the pastor's work for the Lord. So, and he shall receive a reward, and that reward glorifies Christ. The reward glorifies what he made his life for. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, it seems that the crown of glory, if we were in a long study, is reserved for the pastor teacher who builds with gold, silver, and precious stones only. But we'll just let it go at that. Now, verse 15. I want to get through verse 15. Verse 15. This is the pastor who builds with wood, hay, and straw. If any man's work, any man's a pastor teacher, work is his life work at the building on the foundation of Christ, is burned up under the testing of fire. Every pastor will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's building on the foundation of Christ, that means he's a believer. So, what did he build on it? Okay? Is burned up under the testing of fire, he shall suffer loss. What's the loss of? Of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. We learn one thing of importance in reference to eternity. There's no equality in eternity, people. I hate to disappoint you. There's no equality. And those who think that they deserve the big place are going to be disappointed. Some who think that they don't deserve very much at all, they're going to be pleasantly surprised. But look what happens there. But he himself, he shall suffer loss, but he himself, that pastor, shall be saved, eternal security. Yet so as through fire. The point here is that as your work goes up in flames, they themselves will escape those flames. That's the ideal of the pastor. But it's got to be a sad moment to see your whole life just burn up. It won't take long. I mean, wood, hay, and straw, it's gone. It's going to be a high-powered fire. And it's just going to burn up. Your whole life. Well, that's that. I'm glad I'm saved. All right. Yet as though through fire. His work goes up, he spares the fire. Two things that many people hate and deny and reject. Two things that many people hate, deny, and reject. Point one. No one loses their salvation because of a sinful life. A lot of people don't like that. Oh, I want them to pay for their sins. Well, you better be glad that Jesus Christ bore them on a cross because your sins won't be revealed either. Two, no one loses their salvation because of works of the flesh. Many will spend their entire lives working in the flesh, and people are just going to be, oh man, but that person's written books, that person's done this, that person's done that. Wasted life, not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Burned up. They themselves will be delivered through it. Three, once you believe in Jesus Christ, you simply cannot lose your salvation. Period. You can't do it. You can't do it by sin. You can't do it by wasting your life on works of the flesh. Doesn't matter. Four, yes, serving the Lord, especially for the pastor teacher, is vital to glorifying Jesus Christ in time and eternity. That's the point here. Pastor's life on earth is vital. And he will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, see all of his work go up in flames, or see himself get rewarded. But just remember, that day is coming for every one of us. Every one of you. Every one of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You don't need to fear the rapture. You're saved if you believed in Christ. But you better know you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he will evaluate your life. not little isolated things like Olympic gold medals for one isolated event. This is your whole life. It's going to be looked at by the Lord. That brings us to verse 16, and we will start here next week with verse 16. Any question? Okay, well, we covered a few verses today, so let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's a rather sobering fact that we will stand before Jesus Christ. He'll look at our lives. It's one thing to live our life and not physically see Jesus Christ looking at us, but He is. But it's quite another thing when we stand before Him and have our life evaluated. Father, I pray You'll take the things we've seen this morning. First of all, have them come into our souls, settle in, brace us, and then, Heavenly Father, stimulate us to live our life in the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Word of God, that when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we can give honor and glory to Him. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.